to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza. This program is recorded via remote, and here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, April 21st, 2020. 10 South Sudanese nationals are detained in Uganda for breaking the law.
When we are in COVID-19 pandemic, our country Uganda is also fighting a lot to see that the virus does not spread in our country. So efforts are being made. Sometimes people used to cross border point, which is not allowed.
And new cases of COVID-19 continue to pop up in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum.
And the main reason for this is citizens don't give a correct medical history on their suspected individuals who come to the hospital.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Ugandan authorities have detained 10 South Sudanese nationals who sneaked into Uganda last week. Uganda closed its borders last month to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Uganda's police spokesperson for Ashua region says the 10 South Sudanese nationals will be charged in court for entering Uganda illegally. For VOA News, Viola Elias has more from Juba.
Police spokesperson for Uganda Asowa region, Patrick Jimmy Okema, says the 10 South Sudanese have been kept in isolation. Okema says all 10 will face charges of illegally entering Uganda this week.
When we are in COVID-19 pandemic, our country Uganda is also fighting a lot to see that the virus does not spread in our country. So efforts are being made. Sometimes people used to cross border point, which is not allowed because those are unguarded border points, and once you are arrested, you'll be charged before a court of law.
South Sudan National Police Service spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin says the police are not aware of the 10 South Sudanese in detention in Uganda, but he says as long as COVID-19 remains a danger, the South Sudan-Uganda border will remain closed.
Nobody is allowed to cross. It is only the cargo, and those who drive the cargoes are the ones permitted to cross the border. The border is still closed. Nobody is allowed to cross from Uganda to South Sudan and from South Sudan to Uganda.
Justin says anyone who breaks the law by illegally crossing the border should be arrested. Okema tells South Sudan in Focus a Kenyan truck driver who tested positive for the virus last week at the Ugandan-Kenya border and escaped before his results were released was arrested at Elegu on the Uganda-South Sudan border on Sunday and taken to the COVID-19 treatment center in Entebbe, Uganda.
This gentleman left Malaba on date 16th and was traveling to Juba. So when he reached Elegu on the 17th, he gave his truck to another person. And that person left to Uganda, to Juba. And for him, he remained at Elegu. Our intelligence received information that he was malingering around. He was tested positive from Malaba. We got him at Elegu border point. So we informed the ministry, and he was picked yesterday to Entebbe.
Dr. Makur Koryom, Undersecretary in South Sudan Health Ministry and a spokesman for the country's high-level task force on COVID-19, told reporters in Juba yesterday that the task force received word from Ugandan authorities about a truck driver who might have sneaked into South Sudan. Koryom says the task force informed all organized forces at Nimule checkpoint to be on a lookout for the truck driver.
In the afternoon, we received information from Nimule that a driver believed to be the guy in question was stopped at Nimule border crossing on his way back from Juba to Uganda. Investigation is underway to confirm his identity and also to launch possible contact tracing with regard to people he might have come into contact with.
Makur says the task force will continue to work with Uganda authorities to control the spread of the pandemic. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
hundreds of South Sudanese refugees at Nyumazi Camp in Adjumani district of Uganda because some family members who are eligible to sign for food distributions have been cut off by border closure. The camp chairman says 68 households were unable to receive food in the last distribution cycle. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Aid agencies and camp authorities distributed food to refugees in Uganda on March 25th, 4 days after Ugandan authorities closed the Elegu-Nimuli border crossing point between Uganda and South Sudan to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Some parents and other heads of households of refugee families who would normally sign for food rations during the monthly distribution of food aid were not in the camp. 35-year-old refugee Rhoda Ayana Jack and her 4 children are going without food rations at the camp. Speaking in Dinka, Ajak says she traveled to Juba to seek medical help.
I was preparing to return back to them and I even reached up to the border at Nimule, but I was denied entry. By that time, the border was still open. But when I reached Nimule, the border got closed and I returned back. Now, I am very worried of my children.
According to rules set by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, or UNHCR, only people 18 years of age or older are eligible to sign and receive a family's monthly food ration at the distribution center. Uganda hosts over 1 million South Sudanese refugees who fled their country following the outbreak of war in 2013 and again in 2016. Reached by phone, Nyang Alwell, the Nyumazi refugee settlement chairman, says some refugees have moved back and forth between Uganda and South Sudan looking for services not available in the camp. Under Section 5 of the 2005 Uganda Refugee Act, when one is granted asylum, one cannot return to their home country. Section 31 of the same act allows freedom of movement of refugees outside Uganda, stating that a recognized refugee is entitled to a travel document for the purpose of travel outside Uganda unless compelling reasons of national security. The exception is the refugee's country of origin and those countries with respect to which Uganda has restrictions. Ajak says her 4 children have nothing to eat.
They are going hungry and this worries me a lot. Sometimes I call them and get a lot of complaints from them. Those complaints, like sickness, get me troubled a lot. I don't sleep at night because of that.
Adaubul is another South Sudanese refugee who is cut off from her family by the border shutdown. Speaking in Dinka, she says her 3 children have been denied food aid.
The last food distribution got me locked down here. And all the children are in the camp in Uganda, including my mother. They did not receive food ration. It was denied to them. I am traumatized now because of hunger.
Bull says she and several other South Sudanese refugees were denied entry when Uganda closed the border for the first time on March 23rd. Nyang Alwell, the Nyumazi refugee settlement chairman, says the situation is alarming.
This threat got us at a time when many people went to different places to access services that are not within the reach of the settlement here. As a result, it has impacts on the life of the refugees, more especially children who are left in the settlement.
Alwell says camp officials have listed at least 68 households who were not able to receive food rations in Nyumazi refugee settlement alone.
So what we came up with was to list those households and submit to their partners, then also prepare to verify their children at the different households. They can be enrolled or some other alternate food collectors are assigned to collect their food until when their parents come back after the lockdown.
Alwell says for the past month, camp leaders contributed food to children whose household did not receive food rations. The camp chairman says more than 2 dozen refugees who tried to cross illegally back into the camp have been arrested and are now in quarantine at the border. For VOA News, I am Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
Sudanese health authorities say they have recorded 71 new cases of COVID-19 over the past 3 days, bringing the total number of confirmed cases to 107. Health officials say 12 patients died from the disease, and the country could see an increase in new cases because some residents of Khartoum continue to ignore WHO's COVID-19 guidelines. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Sudanese health officials say 68 of 71 new cases are in Khartoum alone. Speaking to reporters in Khartoum Monday night, Rashid Said Yaqub, the first undersecretary in the Ministry of Information, confirmed 30 new cases on Friday, a day before the lockdown, while 26 more cases confirmed the following day. Yaqub says 12 people have died from COVID-19, while 8 others have recovered from the pandemic. Speaking in Arabic, he says more health workers are becoming infected with the virus.
And the main reason for this is citizens don't give a correct medical history on their suspected individuals who come to the hospital.
A lockdown in the capital Khartoum went into effect on Saturday, but many people are still walking around the street of Khartoum. Yaqub says citizens are out buying essential commodities. He says the government is working to provide bread and other essentials so people don't have to go out during the lockdown.
The violation of the lockdown is due to shortages in some commodities such as cooking gas and bread. This has contributed to the movement of the people even far beyond their neighborhoods. They even queue for a long time and strive to get bread, gas and fuel. This is so dangerous and it's the cause for this spread.
Sudanese Religious Affairs Minister Nasruddin Mufarrah issued directives to all mosques and churches within Khartoum State to close as protective measures. On Sunday, Mufarrah told reporters his ministry received information that people are still praying together in some mosques, which is a clear violation of the directive.
The virus could be in the air, marketplaces, mosques. We cannot see it with our naked eyes. That is why we need to avoid all gatherings as much as we can and take precautions everywhere we go. So there is no exception regarding the closure of mosques.
Sudanese Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok has urged all Sudanese to stay home and follow all protective measures as the only way to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in Sudan.
This is the only way to defeat this disease because all the nations around the world have learned from their experiences. All of us have seen what happened to countries that downplayed the danger of this disease. Some of these countries have more and much better medical facilities than us. Just imagine a country such as Sudan reaching a wide and social spread of this disease with our limited resources.
The Sudanese Health Task Force for COVID-19 has instructed security forces to arrest anyone violating travel instruction during the lockdown and to confiscate their driving licenses. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Africa boosts its efforts to test residents in various suburbs. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you correct friends and loved ones?
I tell them the truth, because when I hide it, sometimes I have to tell them again and explain, which is not so fun. Yeah, it's easier for everyone.
You tell him what you have done is wrong. Next time, don't do like this, according to what he has done.
The first step I do actually is that I talk to the person. I sit back a little bit to be able to ascertain if it really went down with the person. To give the person a breathing space, just to ponder about whatever I said. And in the course of time to allow process to have its way.
When they go wrong, I call them aside and talk to them. I tell them their behavior is very bad, so they need to stay away from it. And some of them get angry, but I don't care.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. And in our Tuesday health segment, we take a look at testings for COVID-19 in South Africa. This week, South Africa is expected to boost the number of people it tested for COVID-19 as medical workers spread into areas identified by the government as high risks. It is particularly trying to avoid mass outbreaks in overcrowded townships where many people are finding it difficult to stay at home during the country's lockdown. So far, more than 900,000 people have been screened for coronavirus in various communities, with about 12,000 referred for testing. For VOA News, Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
The Gene Expert machine is the size of a microwave oven. The California company Cepheid developed it a decade ago to test sputum samples for tuberculosis. Gene Expert machines use PCR technology, the same technology used in the gold standard laboratory test used to detect the new coronavirus. But it can take up to 48 hours for such a lab test to deliver results. Now researchers have developed a rapid coronavirus test kit that can be used with Gene Expert machines. It tells you whether you've got the virus within 45 minutes. But the CEO of South Africa's National Health Laboratory Service, Kami Chetty, says the cartridges that allow the Gene Expert to test for COVID-19 are in short supply because the whole world now needs them.
We are about one of the few countries who have received those kits, and we are quite fortunate that we have received about 10,000 of those for use in the country.
But, says Dr. Chetty, many more machines and cartridges are needed.
There's a production that has started in Sweden, and we're working with the company to try to increase the number of kits. We're hoping that we'll be able to receive as many kits as possible. But within 3 weeks of the approval of the kits, it's very difficult for the company to have the numbers that we want.
The South African authorities have asked the company to supply 10,000 cartridges per day.
They've indicated to us that they will give us another 20,000 during the next week. We're hoping to ramp that up because as soon as we ramp that up, it means we can use 183 sites to do as many tests as possible. But it's going to depend completely on the production of the company.
Chetty says South Africa also uses other types of machines and tests as it battles COVID-19.
We also use the Cobus 6800 and 8800 machines, which is a Roche machine. We've been hoping that we could have got more of those kits because it's a fully automated kit, but the production of that is limited by the supplier.
It's the same all over the world, with shortages of medical machinery, kits and cartridges, and the required chemicals hampering mass testing. South Africa's doing its best, says Chetty, including sending 67 mobile testing labs across the country. Despite the difficulties, Chetty says progress is being made. 6 weeks ago, she says, her service only had the capacity to do 400 tests per week.
We have now increased to over 12,000 tests per week. So we are seeing a daily increase.
But this is still way less than the government's aim of testing 35,000 people a day by the end of April, and more after this. Chetty says the greater the number of tests done, the greater the chance of South Africa avoiding the massive infections and death tolls seen in other parts of the world. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Still on COVID-19, the World Health Organization is fearful that the funding cuts announced by US will deter its effort to control the spread of the coronavirus in Africa. Aside from the coronavirus, the World Health is concerned that vaccine-preventable disease could also spread as countries are forced to cancel vaccination programs. For VOA News, Simon Max reports from Addis Ababa.
The U.S. is the main funder of WHO programs linked to malaria, polio, and HIV/AIDS in Africa. Currently, the U.S. has pledged $400 million to the WHO's $4.8 billion 2020-2021 budget. While its pledges are mostly locked in for this year, WHO officials expect the U.S. funding suspension to start biting in 2021. Michel Yao, Emergency Operations Program Manager at the WHO's Regional Office for Africa, spoke to VOA via a messaging app.
This support is what helps to provide technical support or even to have a technical position in a country. Some of them, a program like malaria, need to have a continuous support based in a WHO country office. So all these technical positions and also work that is required while convening aspects to work on a specific guideline for a given disease. This is also the funding was helping, and sometimes even in some of the supply, maybe on the HIV issues. So all this, of course, will suffer if this gap is not covered.
For COVID-19 prevention efforts, the WHO has repurposed many of its staff to deal with the outbreak. While money has been set aside for 2020, question marks hang over those roles for next year.
In the case of COVID, some of these technical people that has been repurposed. And of course, most of them got the contract extended, but maybe from next year, if we don't have enough funds and we have to cut on staff, it will also affect, because some of them have been repurposed based on that. If this shortage continues, it will definitely affect our HR plan for next year.
Yao denounced claims that the WHO was slow to respond to the coronavirus outbreak, or that the organization has been too China-centric. He said that a team of international experts was sent to Wuhan, where the original outbreak occurred, as early as January 1st to report on the scale and danger of the outbreak. The WHO, in partnership with other UN agencies, has begun delivering personal protective equipment around Africa by using Addis Ababa as its central cargo hub. World Food Programme planes last week began delivering emergency health workers across the region. But a sheer lack of basic and technical equipment such as ventilators and clinical care beds are troubling many policymakers in the region. John Nkangasong, director of the Africa CDC, told reporters last week that at least 10 countries in Africa have no ventilators whatsoever. Another major concern for health authorities in Africa is the impact the COVID-19 crisis will have on other diseases. According to the WHO, Guinea, Ethiopia, South Sudan and Chad have already postponed mass vaccination campaigns for measles that were due to take place between March and June. The WHO fears it will see vaccine-preventable diseases like measles, rubella, polio and diphtheria become more commonplace. Simon Marks for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
Community leaders in Central Equatoria State say several people were killed and scores injured following a cattle raid in Tali Payam of Terekeka County. The leaders say the fighting started in Golo cattle camp among youth from three communities. For VOA News, Daniel Friday Martin reports from Yei.
Angelo Maring, a former executive director in the now defunct Tali County, told South Sudan in Focus by phone from the area that after the wrestling match, youth from one community raided cattle from another area, prompting an exchange of gunfire between youth in the communities. Maring says the violence caused panic and displaced hundreds of residents.
Seven youth are actually killed and six are injured in Mijiki village. The village is actually burnt and people are actually displaced. The government has formed two committees. One committee is actually formed to collect the looted cattle, and the other one is to make awareness among the youth and the chief in order that the youth put down their gun.
Moses Pitia, who works for the National NGO Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, or SEPO, in Terekeka County, condemned the violence and urged local youth to stop fighting.
I also appeal to the national government. We want to see the governors appointed in place so that they can appoint the commissioners, a full commissioners who will have full force and will have the government in place in the local government or in the grassroots level.
Pitia says the security situation in the area still remains tense. Bishop Paul Modi of the Terekeka Diocese in the Episcopal Church of South Sudan also condemned the violence and urged the warring youth groups to lay down their guns.
Church leaders, of course, we strongly condemn such barbaric acts that led to loss of life and destruction of property. As religious leaders, let them calm down, let them stop the fighting, and let them adhere to the government so that we as religious leaders now will be able to go on the ground to make reconciliation.
Modi called on aid agencies operating in the area to provide relief to the displaced, especially women and children, who he says are in dire need of humanitarian assistance. Loko Zakaria, administrator for the now defunct Terekeka State, says the government is hosting several meetings with the communities involved to resolve the matter amicably.
Let the people of Terekeka remain calm. There is no panic at all, and the situation is under control now. And we pray that in 2-3 days' time, they will get a very positive result.
Loko says he has instructed local chiefs and camp leaders to talk to the local youth and convince them to lay down their weapons and embrace peaceful coexistence in their communities. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin in Yei, Central Equatorial State.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Abie Pinda by Mo Attack Mo. We have been listening to Mo Attack Mo with the song Abie Pinda. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for listening, and remember to stay at home, wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I have been your rock.
Adieu. 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 Adie